Welcome to Mommy Heal Thyself. We feature guests who provide you with the tools, resources, and strategies you need to say no to a life of pain and suffering from all forms of preventable disease, toxic drugs, and unnecessary surgeries. We hope to inspire you to boldly reclaim your ability to heal and to serve the ones you love.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Mommy Heal Thyself. Today, I'm here with Carlotta Thompson. Now, when Carlotta was 14, she remembers becoming enthralled with a booklet on preparing taxes. Now, that kind of dates us because I remember that also, going to the public library to get those little booklets so that you could learn about your taxes and fill out your taxes. But, you know, you guys don't do that anymore. Nobody does the, you know, actual paper and pencil booklets anymore. In any case, she decided then that she wanted to work for the IRS. So 14 years old, she began studying tax law with the dream of working for the International Revenue Service. Shortly after attaining the dream of working for the IRS, Carlotta realized that the IRS isn't exactly in place to help small businesses. She thought and she felt that she was working for the wrong side. As an auditor, she saw tons of tax returns with sometimes hundreds and thousands of dollars of missed deductions that were detrimental to the client. Then she had a bigger dream and a mission of directly helping business owners to pay at least the least amount of tax possible legally. So that began a ministry and has evolved into the Tax Strategist of America. Well, sweetheart, welcome, welcome. I am so happy to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited too. And yes, like I started everything here as ministry, and I feel like that's the biggest, you know, thing that I want to make sure that people understand is like, serve with all of your heart and you will get to where you want to go. That's what I live off of daily.
That is so important to us here at It Takes Village Ministry. One of the things that I have been impressing upon people is understanding that it's so critical to not only have a business of your own, but to really understand the tax code so that you can utilize it to your family's benefits. You know, a lot of times when we talk to people about health and wellness, they say, oh, Michelle, I can't afford it. And I'm saying, no, not only can you afford it, but you can't afford not to be worried about your health. And so I would love for you to tell us more about how these small businesses, how these solopreneurs, how these independent contractors can maneuver through the tax codes. You know, what are the common mistakes that they're making and what can they do to come out on top?
Yeah, so when you're first starting out, you know, the biggest mistakes are just tax errors. Like you're not even doing the tax return correctly. And a lot of times this comes from you're hiring the wrong professional. And so, or you're not hiring a professional at all. You're trying to do it on TurboTax, right? The adult video game. That's what I call it. So first of all, you need to hire a professional. Hands down, like if you're making under $40,000, like your gross is under $40,000, it all comes down to having a professional. Now, once you start making above 40,000, like after expenses above 40,000, you need to hire someone to help you save on taxes. Because let's be real, under 40,000, you're probably not paying any taxes, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting, you know, your low income, maybe you have a side hustle or whatever. But once you hit that mark of around 40,000 after expenses, you go from being the taxpayer in the lowest tax bracket to all of a sudden becoming almost the highest tax bracket without making a lot of money. And where that comes from is Social Security and Medicare tax. When you own your own business, right, you have to pay both sides of that. So when you're an employee, you pay half, and your employer pays half. But when you're a business owner, you have to pay it all. And so that is the first time that you start feeling how much taxes take from you. And so that is when you really need to start focusing on hiring someone to help you pay less tax. Like it is the number one expense of business owners that actually have a business, right? Yes, if you're a side hustle or you're just, starting out, obviously, there's things that could be more expensive than taxes. But when you're making money, taxes become your number one expense, and you've got to make sure that you are using things like hiring your kids, renting your home to yourself. Like, those are low hanging fruit that any person that calls them a tax professional with some strategy can do, right? So that's your first things, right? Make sure, first of all, before that, before 40,000, you're going to make sure that you get a professional and that you're doing everything, you're deducting everything you can. After that, you're going to start focusing on those small strategies that can get you to zero. You can get to zero if you're making up to 100,000 pretty easily just by doing a few core strategies, all right? But past that, now we go into actual business tax strategies, and that's what sets us apart from everybody else, right? Like, once you have a real business and you are hiring employees and you're doing maybe some R&D, like research and development, or and you're doing some of those things, that is when you've got to have somebody that's actually a tax strategist that does more than just a few strategies. So I think the biggest thing you can learn as a small business owner is to hire the right professional for the journey that you're in at that moment, because I'm not going to have the same tax professional when I'm making 40,000 as I am when I'm making 4 million usually, right? And so just making sure that you hire the right person and that you're learning. Also, use ChatGPT. ChatGPT, I don't know how you feel about that. I know different people have different thoughts on it, but I'm going to tell you, ChatGPT can give you a lot of tax strategy. What I always tell my clients is quit asking, is this a tax deduction? How many times have you asked your person, is this a tax deduction? Most everybody's asked that question, right? Is can I deduct this, right? The number one thing I'm going to tell you is to quit asking that question and ask, how can I deduct that? When I say, use that with ChatGPT, because ChatGPT, if you say, is my classic car collection a deduction? It's going to tell you no. How can I make my classic car collection a deduction? It's going to give you 20 ways. So think outside the box.
Wow. That is amazing. So let's break it down a little bit. You are saying you have 40,000 and below, and this is net income, not gross.
Right.
And then you have, say, 100,000, the gap between 40,000 and 100,000, and then you have more than 100,000. So when you're in that zone of less than 40,000, what type of preparers, or should I say, what type of professionals should we be looking to get in order to do what?
Yeah, so normally you're going to do your own bookkeeping at that point. You're not going to go hire a bookkeeper, right? You're going to use to Excel. I think one of the biggest mistakes people can do is doing QuickBooks too early. I think people all want to like have a professional system and they want to use QuickBooks. Well, QuickBooks in the hands of somebody who doesn't understand bookkeeping is terrible. And it is what causes so many mistakes at the IRS. Like, when I go in and I have somebody that's done their books in QuickBooks, 100% of the time it's wrong. I've never seen someone do their own bookkeeping and it be correct. But QuickBooks sells us on, or in, I'm picking on QuickBooks because they're the number one, but like any bookkeeping software sells us on the idea that we can do our own bookkeeping. And it seems just as easy as like, oh, it's going to tell you where to put everything. Well, the problem is QuickBooks is a double entry set of books. So if you put things to something you might think it goes to, it's probably going to go to the wrong place. Like, it could go to the balance sheet when it should go to the income statement, right? Well, that's a huge problem because the income statement's where your income and expenses are. The balance sheet has no bearing on the tax return to take deductions, right? So I will say, I mean, it does, but not for you, right? When you're pulling your stuff, you're going to pull the the income and expenses if you're under 40,000, because that's what you're going to know. So up to that point, I'm going to say use Excel. Quit trying to get fancy too soon. And then I'm going to say hire a professional that just does tax returns. Like we have that at our company where you can just hire someone just to do your taxes. Like you don't have to do tax strategy, you don't have to do anything. Like we have a company where you can just do your tax return. And that's really all you need when you start. You need your taxes done. Then when you're at 40,000 to 100,000, you need some bookkeeping. Okay, now we've got to start doing our bookkeeping because we're going to start implementing some of the lowest strategies there are, right? Some of those are going to be a reasonable compensation analysis, maybe hiring your kids, maybe doing the Augusta rule. A lot of you may not know what those things are. If you follow me on social media, I explain all of them. But you're going to do some of those low-hanging fruits. When you get there, you're probably at the point where you need to hire a bookkeeper. Now, you don't need to be doing monthly bookkeeping. You probably need to go with quarterly at first, or maybe even twice a year. Okay. You just need to get your books correct. And then you also want to just get a tax return. You don't need anything real exciting at that point. But you do want to start doing some strategies because that's at that point is where you're going to start paying a bunch of taxes. But those strategies can be just the core ones, right? Just the smaller ones where you can get those implemented and you're going to get to zero pretty easily. If you're under $100,000, you really only have to implement a few strategies to get to zero. It's not hard. So, yeah. And then when you get over 100,000, that's when you start looking at maybe I want to get a piece of real estate. Maybe I want to get, I need to do some higher end strategies because I need to get down. Maybe I want to invest in another business. Maybe, you start thinking through that. You start thinking more of an investor because now you have enough money, usually, as women in the space of like going to college, right? Your business was really income replacement. So you're at that place where you're making enough, you're making over 60,000, 70,000, which is what most of us were making as accountants, unless you're like in a big city or you're a lawyer or a doctor. Like you're not, most people that are employees are not making over in the South over about 75. Now, if you're in California, you're making 125, 150, 200, but like in Arkansas or in Texas or in, Oklahoma, like in the South, the medium range of people with a degree is about $60,000 a year. It's not that much, right? So you've came to the place where you've replaced your income usually. And now you're thinking like, okay, now I have a few dollars to go out and do something else with. Now, some of you may be listening to this and you're probably like, I've got replacing my income would be $300,000 or $400,000. That's totally okay. You're not who I'm talking to right now. You're going to have to do yours a little bit different, right? You're going to have to do strategy at the same time because you have this whole other income that's putting you in a higher tax bracket than us with just a business, right? And so I do things a little different when people have wages, but they also have a business because the numbers are a little different because you shoot from like, being, if you have a job that you're making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, it's really easy to get into that 50% bracket super fast. And a lot of people are like, 50%. Well, you think about it, when you're paying 15% of Social Security and Medicare, plus on top of the regular federal rate in a higher bracket, plus on top of if you have state taxes, I mean, it's over 50% very quickly. So that's what I would suggest.
That adds up so quickly, as you were saying. Now, in your experience, what is one of the common mistakes or misperceptions that people have in each of those three categories?
So I would say in that 0 to 40,000, the biggest problem with businesses in that range are they want to go too fast. They see everybody else doing it. They're always on social media. They're buying all kinds of crap they don't need. They're spending money like crazy. And usually They never can get into actually having a business. Because when I say like you have a real business, it means like you're profiting money, right? A lot of times under the 40,000 mark, people are trying to get rich quick. And in business, it ain't quick, you know? Like it's not quick. It took me, if you want to do it quick, I will say, quit trying to start a business and buy a business. Like we teach people how to buy businesses all the time. We've closed over 100 businesses in the past 3.5 years for our clients because they were wanting income replacement or they were wanting to grow, right? Because it's easier to go buy a business that's already been in business, it's already has 10 years of history that the SBA will finance for you. It's easier to do that than to start from ground zero. But a
So
lot
would
of
that
people,
be something particularly for, say, retirees?
I would, you mean like would retired people go buy a business?
Yeah, because at that stage they may have the income, but they don't necessarily want to go through the tussle of having to do everything from scratch. It's like getting a teenage child as opposed to getting a baby.
I would say if I had to do this entire journey over again, I would have bought a business because it's not like, yes, I do have some retired people, but that's not really who are buying businesses. You don't have to have a lot of money to buy a business. A
Really?
lot of people think you do, but SBA makes it where you don't, right? And then you can get a searcher fund at the bank. Like we use Live Oak, they have searcher funds that will come in and actually help finance all of that business. So a lot of people think it costs a lot of money to get into a business. It does not. It's actually very, very cheap and usually costs less than what you're spending on like coaching. You know, when I remember when I left the IRS and I came out here and I got into some coaching programs that were $25,000, you know, like I could have went and bought a business with less than that. Also, because I'm an accountant, right? And so I could go buy an accounting business for 0% down. You know, like there's just so many things. So why would I have bought a business instead of growing the way I did? Well, the first year I was in business, I didn't make any money. I mean, I made money, but I had to pay it all out, right? And so even though I made $100,000 of revenue or $150,000 of revenue, I actually had to have a side gig to pay my one employee to help me do the business, right? And I didn't make any money. My husband was a RN and he helped make it where we could afford to pay our bills. The second year I was in business, I think I made $40,000 after my expenses. The third year I was in business, you know, I think I got to several hundred thousand dollars. Now we're in the millions, several million, $4 million of profit, you know, in one business, and we have seven businesses.
Okay,
So
so
what I've done different is buy a business instead of trying to do it from scratch.
So now, in the category of 40 to 100, what is the most common misperception or mistake that you find?
Yeah, so in that range, I think the people that have gotten there have usually done it by scrape and buy. So it's like a whole different mindset. The people that are in 0 to 40, they never usually make it to 40 to 100 because they're blowing all their money that they make. From the 40 to 100, they've gotten there because they've not gave anybody any money. And so they're trying to DIY everything. It's so weird that the people that are broke, essentially, or, you know, have a W-2 income that's just supporting their business, or maybe they got a windfall, they're trying to hire coaches and they're trying to spend all their money and they're trying to do all this stuff. Then you've got this place of like all the people that actually make it to 100. They have done it usually by keeping a really tight fist and not spending any of their money. And if they have, they've definitely not spent it on tax professionals or bookkeeping professionals or anything like that. Their stuff is usually a wreck. And so what usually why those people come is they get their first large tax bill because that's where, you know, you first get your hit. 0 to 40, you don't, but the 40 to 100, you're like, oh my gosh, I just got a $15,000 tax bill. And usually The thing is, in business, it happens overnight. So you go from that 0 to 40 range, and then you get to 100, and usually it happens within a couple of months. And you don't even realize it because you just got your tax bill at the 0 to 40. You're like, oh, I didn't pay any taxes. Life is great. I'm going to keep going and doing this. They spend every dollar they make when they're making that money because they didn't pay any taxes, on the 40, and they're thinking, oh, I'm not going to have to pay any taxes on the 100. And so they don't save for taxes.
Oh, no.
They get the tax bill after they've made the money, they've spent the money, and now they've got a $20,000 tax bill out of the blue, and they're like, but I didn't have a tax bill when I was making 40. Why I'm making 100, why did I all of a sudden get a $20,000 tax bill? Well, when you're making 40, you're getting all these incentives from the government for low-income people. When you're making 100, all of a sudden those all went away, and you got hit with Social Security, Medicare, like all the other taxes.
All at once.
And so it is a stark difference, right? Like usually people are coming to me when they get their first large tax bill, and they're like, oh my gosh, what do I do now?
So, are you able to help people in that situation? Like, can you go back in time and redo their taxes, or is it just like, oh, you got to bite the bullet, but now we strategize to move forward?
Usually it's going to be strategy moving forward. Now, if there was something that they could do that they missed, yes, you can go back, but just I'm going to tell you the number one thing that is the problem is people don't think about taxes until after the year ends. And once that year ends, you really can't do a lot of strategy. Like the strategy we're working on right now on June 2025 is 2025 strategy, right? We start 2025 strategy on January 1st of 2025. And people always come to me and they're like, can you do anything with this old tax bill? Or can you do anything with last year? Sometimes I can if you haven't filed yet. But once you file, you've told the IRS that was your intention. You intended for that. So when you go and amend those things, now you're having to prove to the IRS that you put it on there wrong and it just wasn't your intention. See, everything with the government comes down to record keeping and what your intention was. And if you don't file yet and you come, yeah, I can usually help because I can change the intention, right? I can, because you don't even know your intention. Like I talked to a guy a couple of days ago and he had filed for last year and the strat he had filed for last year making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, and his accountant, the strategy was like terrible. And I was like, look, we could amend this, but see, the thing is, you've already filed it. When you filed it, you told the IRS your intention. So now if I go and like change all of this, they're going to say, well, but your intention was that. So did this really happen? And so amended returns, yes, if you actually miss something. Yes, if there's a strategy you missed. Yes, if it's something that you can actually do. But I'm sorry, if you didn't pay your kids at the time and you want to pay your kids backwards and you didn't pay them, no. Like I can't go pay your kids when you didn't pay your kids, right? But maybe you missed, maybe you needed to make an election that you didn't make, and maybe that election would save you $20,000 or $30,000. Yes, a lot of times we can do those backwards. So I would say that's really the biggest thing is what was a lot of times people will be like, oh, we can amend your returns. Okay, but you need to understand an amended return has a much higher rate of getting audited. And so we would want to make sure it's very accurate if we're going to amend it.
Because you're automatically putting out that red flag that makes you stand out. Absolutely.
Yeah, especially on a personal return, like on a business return, it's not as big as a red flag because the way the IRS tracks things is when you do an amended business return, it just kind of overrides the return. But most people in the 0 to 100,000 range are filing their taxes on their personal return, and that's where those personal returns are always a lot more criticized than business returns are, just because there's a lot more error usually on a personal return than a business return. So have a lot higher risk of getting audited.
Well, I think the biggest message that I'm taking away from all of this is that what my mama always told me, which is success is when preparedness meets opportunity. And what I mean by that is that we should always be looking forward, not waiting until, we get confirmation that we're at that stage, but thinking, you know what, I'm in the 0 to 40, but I need to think with the mindset of 40 to 100, so that when that happens, I have that infrastructure in place. And the same thing when you're in that 40 to 100, to not just sit there and be comfortable, but start thinking, okay, am I getting the infrastructure in place for the next move? So I would love for us to wrap us up today by telling us what are some of the services and supports that you can offer in each of those different categories.
Yeah, so we actually have a business where we can do everything. We can do your tax return, we can do your bookkeeping, we can do your tax strategy, we can do all of those services. That is done through our stable.com. It's stable. I know it's kind of a weird
And
spelling,
we'll
but
have the
that's
links in the
where,
show notes also.
yeah, that is where we do if you're here in your 0 to 40. That is where I would start a stable. If you are here and you have a tax bill, you really need to start with coming to one of our trainings to learn about actual tax strategy. And like we go over, if I'm making 100, how can I get to zero? If I'm making 1 million, how can I get to zero? If I'm making 1 billion, how can I get to zero? And so that's what I'm going to say. Like, if you're making money, if you know you're going to have a tax bill, I would come to one of those trainings. But if you're here and you just need your taxes done, or maybe need some bookkeeping done, we do all of that at our company called Stable. If you're here and you want to come to a training, we do those online, and they're at ta that's at taxstrategistofamerica.com. You can go to those links. She'll have the links in the show notes, but those are the two places. Like, we really have created something for everyone, and so that's what I'm gonna leave you with.
Well, I appreciate that because a lot of times we speak to people and they're only addressing, quote unquote, the higher echelon. And the reality is that we all started out, at the bottom of the rung. And, for us to have that vision and that scope, I believe is helpful. And to know that you provide that assistance at each of those levels, and you're not looking to overwhelm people with things that they don't need in that moment, but rather to say, you know what, right now you just need this. And then
Yep.
later on, when you need bigger shoes, we got them in the next aisle. But right now, let's stay with here with the little baby shoes.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, remember this. It's not what your accountant or your tax preparer or whatever charges you, it's what they cost you, because they can charge you free. They can charge you a couple hundred dollars, but it's what they cost you, and they will cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Every return we do here is a strategy infused tax return, meaning, like, even if you're only at $20,000, we're still doing your return from a strategy infusion standpoint. Whereas everybody else in America that does tax returns are doing them from a compliance standpoint. And so I think that's what sets us apart, is even when you don't make anything, we're still looking at that from a strategy standpoint, not from a, let me just get these numbers in here and get you out the door as soon as possible. And that's what you're going to get with everybody that does returns. They're just really focused on the compliance. The only reason that we set ourselves apart from that is because I have a tax strategy firm and I have a tax preparation firm, and they are separate. But obviously, they work together in the fact that I don't want to send my tax strategy people over there and they have a return that's based on compliance, right? I need that tax preparer looking at those things and saying, hey, you can do this strategy or you can do that strategy. And so that's really, I think, what separates us from everybody else, is we do have services from everybody, whether you just are starting out to being, multi-billionaire, but also just having the knowledge of, like, you don't need to go with somebody who is charging you the cheapest amount possible because it's not what they charge you. I've seen people all the time get returns for free. Their friends do their returns, they do their own returns. And I'm going to say it's to you too, like to yourself. You know how everybody wants to use TurboTax. It's not what it costs. It's not what the TurboTax charges you to file that return. Maybe it's $100. It's what it costs you in the process. And if
Wow.
that costs you 20,000 or 10,000 or 5,000 of taxes, wouldn't you have rather went and paid a professional, $1,000 to do that return instead of, and I'm just throwing numbers out there, but $1,000 versus paying somebody 100 and them costing you 5,000. Like it. So that's what I'm going to tell you when you're starting out is quit trying to do everything the cheap way. Cause I'm the girl that won't buy a pair of jeans unless I have a coupon, but also like, I'm not going to go skimp on the things that are important because I know what's going to cost me in business. Right. I mean,
I say the same thing to people that I work with in terms of health. So I understand completely. Now, one last question. Do you also work with people who are traders in the stock market?
oh, we do at Stable. We don't do a lot of tax strategy with day traders because they aren't usually having a business, right? They're usually they have like a specific set of tax laws that they can do. What I would say is if you're a day trader, there are some things that you can do, but you need to set yourself up where it is more of a business venture if you rise to that level. Like a lot of people do day trading and they're really just dabbling, okay? So yes, at Stable, not all the time in tax strategy because a lot of times it doesn't really make sense because you really don't have any expenses. All you're really doing is day trading, right? There's not like an office, there's not employees, or there's nothing. It's just,
So for
you.
those who have set it up as a business, then it's something that you would be able to work with.
We can, you just have to be careful in the strategies. We'll have to look at it from an individual perspective, and make sure like, does it make sense? Because the one thing that's important to me is that we don't create a bunch of losses just to have a bunch of losses, right? And I think that's what a lot of people do is everything that I put out, I have audit defense on. So I'm not going to put out something that's going to get you in trouble or me in trouble. I'm in ministry, not jail ministry, so I'm not going to do anything crazy. And secondly, like I want to make sure that we walk the line, we don't cross any
That's
lines.
right.
So
Give on to Caesar what is Caesar's. I hear
exactly. So we just want to make sure. So yes, there are strategies you can do, but if you get on my training, you can't do every single strategy there is just because of the rules around day trading. And they have specific rules that are for just them. Just like ministers have a specific set of rules for
That is
them,
true.
day traders have a specific set of rules for them. And we just have to make sure when we're doing strategy, we work within those rules and that we don't do something that's going to get disallowed later.
Exactly. Well, you have definitely given us a lot to contemplate. And what I'm going to share with you, ladies, is all the link in the show notes. And I really, really, really encourage you guys to go to those links because, as I always say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. As Carlotta said, we are not in the prison ministry business. So don't ask Michelle to bake you a cake with a nail file in it because it won't be happening. And I'm not bailing anybody out, right? So let us make sure that we understand the legalities of things and to more than anything else, to know that it is possible to go to zero taxes legally, okay? And to also realize you don't have to be afraid of getting into the higher income brackets because you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to have to worry about having to pay all these taxes. No, if you're working with someone like Carlotta, you're going to be able to put those strategies in place so that you can keep your money and reinvest and do bigger and better things. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So, anything else that you'd like to leave with us today,
I'm
Carlotta?
going to say there is a president in this country that once said that paying zero taxes is smart. And
Exactly.
if he can do it being a multi-billionaire, why can't we do it? And they obviously have reviewed his returns. If you thought that they were, like
Trust
he
me.
would
Yeah.
be
Absolutely.
Like he would not be president right now if he was committing fraud with tax returns, because I guarantee you that the last administration would have figured that out. So
Exactly.
if he can do it, why can't we do it? And I think that goes for every wealthy person in the world. Like in this country, a lot of them are paying no taxes, and the reason why they do that is because they know how to work within the framework of the government. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're working within the framework of the government. And I can show you how to, I can show you how to take $50,000 and turn it to $5 million tax-free in 5 years. I can also show you how to pay no taxes and, on you making $5 million. Like there's so much you can do just in the frameworks of what the wealthy have already taught us by making the tax laws, because the wealthy makes the tax laws. The wealthy
Exactly.
supports Congress. Congress makes the tax laws.
Exactly.
The IRS just enforces them. They do not care what you're doing as long as that you're doing it correctly, but as long as it's in the confines of what Congress puts out.
What I say to people is don't hate the player, learn the game. That's
Exactly.
all it is.
100%.
Those people who are upset are the ones who never learned the game.
That's right.
And with your help, we can all learn the game. There you go. Well, until next time, everyone, peace and blessings.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Mommy Heal Thyself. If you like what we're doing here, please share, subscribe, like us, and leave a comment. Your feedback is very much appreciated.